Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're stepping away from the abstract and getting our hands dirty, so to speak. We're going straight to the shop floor.
Right into the noise.
Exactly. We're diving into the high-stakes world of physical manufacturing to focus on one person. The one who turns a digital dream into a precise, tangible reality. The CNC machinist.
And that's such a critical point when you talk about high precision parts, you know, the titanium frame for a jet engine or a tiny medical implant. You're looking at things where the margin for error is, well, it's almost nothing, measured in microns.
Wow.
And that level of accuracy, it doesn't just come from the machine. It really comes from the human judgment of the machinist running it.
Yeah. And we were handed this huge stack of articles and research on this. It's a profession that I think is really misunderstood. So our goal today is to give you a true shortcut to understanding it. We want to define what a CNC machinist actually is, why they are so indispensable to modern industry, and, maybe most importantly, how their role is so different from someone who just, you know, pushes a green start button.
Yeah, we're trying to get past the generic job titles you might see online. The idea is to really understand the specialized knowledge, the accountability that makes this person the human anchor for precision in manufacturing all over the world.
Okay, let's unpack this. Manufacturing runs on precision. And these documents anchor that precision to one crucial role.
They do.
So let's start with that confusion, because for an outsider, I mean, the terms operator, programmer, and machinist, they all sound kind of like the same job. But the difference we found is it's fundamental.
It is. It's fundamental because it really dictates the capability on the shop floor and therefore the accountability. What we learned from the research is that these are, for the most part, three distinct jobs. Sometimes one very skilled person might do all three, but they are different functions.
So break that down for me. If I walk onto a typical production floor, what three different people am I likely seeing? What's their scope?
Okay, so first, you might see the CNC operator. You can think of them as the machine tender. Their main focus is just keeping the process running smoothly.
Okay.
So loading the raw material, unloading the finished parts, hitting the start button, and maybe doing some basic visual checks. They're all about maintaining the rhythm of production.
And working with processes that are already dialed in, right? They're not inventing anything new.
Precisely. They're established, validated processes. Now, upstream from them, probably sitting in an office, is the CNC programmer.
Or person writing the code.
Exactly. They are creating the tool paths, figuring out the feeds and speeds, and making sure the code is as efficient as possible. They live in the digital world.
And then that brings us to our focus. The CNC machinist. They seem to be the bridge between that digital world of the programmer and the physical reality the operator is handling.
They are absolutely the bridge. The machinist is accountable for the entire physical setup. The whole thing.
The whole thing. From reading the blueprint and figuring out how to clamp the part down, the work holding strategy, to selecting the right cutting tools and doing that crucial first part validation, they translate that abstract code into reliable physical output.
That sounds like so much more than just monitoring. If the program is already written, what is the machinist actively doing while the machine is running?
They're constantly applying judgment. They're watching for tool wear, listening for vibrations that don't sound right, and assessing how the material is behaving.
Mm.
If, you know, the block of aluminum is a little harder than expected or a tool starts to get dull, they can't just wait for the programmer to rewrite everything.
So this is where offsets come in. We saw that term everywhere in the sources.
Yes. Offsets are a critical intervention. The machinist is manually adjusting these numbers in the machine's control. They're basically telling the machine, hey, that tool you thought was 4 inches long, it's now 3.9998 inches because the tip is wearing down.
Or the center of this part needs to shift over by just a few thousandths of an inch. It's this constant small manipulation that prevents scrap parts and maintains that dimensional integrity. It requires real-time, hands-on calibration.
What's fascinating here is the role requires judgment, not just execution. And that judgment, it has to be built on a really deep technical foundation.
Oh, absolutely.
Which brings us to the core fluency you need to make those kinds of critical decisions.
This is where you separate the truly skilled from someone who's just been around for a while. The foundational skill, surprisingly, isn't running the machine. It's interpreting the design intent.
From the blueprint.
It starts with advanced blueprint reading, specifically being fluent in something called geometric dimensioning and tolerancing, or GD&T.
Okay, and GD&T is where a blueprint goes from being just simple measurements to like a map of how the part needs to function.
That's a great way to put it, yeah. It defines not just how big a feature is, but where it has to be in relation to everything else. Its form, its profile, its location. For example, a callout for true position tells the machinist, a hole has to be located within a tiny invisible zone relative to three specific surfaces.
Right.
If they misinterpret that, the part might measure the right size, but it will completely fail when someone tries to assemble it.
So you have to understand the required quality before you can even think about setting up the machine.
Mm-hmm.
And once the cut is done, they have to verify it themselves.
Measurement is paramount. Yeah. They have to be fluent with micrometers, calipers, bore gauges, you name it. They are the first quality gatekeeper right there at the machine. And they need to be faster and often more accurate than the actual inspection department, because a failure at this stage means you've just made a piece of scrap.
Beyond the tools and the part, the documents kept emphasizing something called situational awareness. What does that really mean in a machine shop?
It means understanding the machine as a total ecosystem. Machinists have to understand how, for instance, thermal conditions affect the final part.
The heat.
Yeah. A machine tool that weighs several tons, running at high speed for hours, it heats up. And as the metal of the machine expands, even microscopically, the part dimensions will drift. A good machinist anticipates that drift and proactively adjusts those offsets we were talking about.
And that is the difference between a high-value part and a $20,000 piece of scrap titanium.
It is. They also need this deep knowledge of coolant, of how the spindle behaves, the physics of getting chips out of the way. They're essentially predicting how metal will react under intense stress.
It also sounds like the environment they work in changes what's expected of them. The job isn't the same everywhere.
Not at all. It changes significantly. If you're in a job shop, the machinist is kind of like a general contractor. They're defined by flexibility, by quick changeovers. They might see dozens of different materials and complex one-off prototypes. Their biggest stress is time and novelty.
The pace must be frantic.
It is. But contrast that with a huge production facility. Here, the machinist's priority shifts completely. It's all about consistency, optimizing cycle time, and controlling volume. Their stress isn't novelty, it's deviation.
I see.
They're focused on squeezing every possible second out of a cycle without sacrificing a bit of quality.
And then there are those highly regulated environments like aerospace and medical.
In those fields, the bar is the absolute highest. A machinist has to balance speed with just ironclad procedural adherence and documentation. They are basically quality control agents. They have to log every tool change, every offset, every material lot number.
Why?
Their job isn't just to make a perfect part. It's to prove they made it the exact same way every single time.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting for me. If these machine tools are so advanced, you know, with five-axis motion and perfect G-code, why haven't the machines just eliminated the machinist? Shouldn't automation be doing all this by now?
And the documents are so clear on this. Automation shifts the job. It doesn't eliminate the need for the skill. It transforms the role from one of manual intervention to what you could call process stewardship.
Process stewardship. I like that.
The machine handles the repetitive perfect movements, but the human manages all the exceptions, all the variability.
So the programmer writes this perfect code based on a perfect computer model.
Huh.
But the machinist is the one who has to deal with messy reality.
Precisely. The material isn't perfectly consistent. There are vibrations. A tool might fail unexpectedly.
Oh.
Automated tool path generation is brilliant, but it can't interpret the original design intent when reality clashes with that model. Only a skilled machinist, using their experience, knows whether they should tweak the feed rate or maybe change to a different tool coding to handle a flaw in the raw stock.
And I have to assume, as the machines get more sophisticated and way more expensive, the financial risk of that human judgment call just skyrockets.
That is the crucial insight from all of this. A mistake on a simple three-axis mill might cost you a few $100s in scrap. A collision on a massive custom five-axis machine can cause hundreds of thousands of dollars in damage.
Not to mention the downtime.
Exactly. Months of lost production. So this escalating cost of failure actually increases the reliance on a skilled machinist to prevent problems before they become catastrophic.
Speaking of complex machines, we have to talk about multi-axis machining. Four-axis and especially five-axis. This is like the top tier of complexity.
It absolutely is. A five-axis machine can move a cutting tool along five different axes at the same time. It lets you create these incredibly complex contoured shapes all in one setup. But it also means a small setup error can lead to an extraordinarily costly failure.
So what are the specialized demands on the machinist in that kind of environment?
Well, first, there's a huge leap in spatial reasoning. You have to be able to visualize the part being cut while it's rotating and tilting, not just sitting still. Second, collision awareness is on another level. When the part and the machine head are both moving in complex ways, everything is constantly near everything else. A tiny error in an offset can cause an instant, very expensive crash.
It's like the difference between driving a car on an open road and maneuvering a giant ship in a narrow harbor.
That's an excellent analogy. Yeah. They also need advanced work holding strategies and inspection planning to even verify the complex geometry is correct. And the research notes showed that shops that buy advanced machines without having machinists with matching skills, they often suffer from these long prove-out periods, and the machines just sit idle.
So the $500,000 machine is only as good as the person running the setup.
Exactly. The human knowledge has to catch up.
Which leads us perfectly into the workforce reality.
Yeah.
Because like you said, the title CNC machinist is really stratified. You can have two people with that title whose actual value to an operation is worlds apart.
Absolutely. The labor pool is tiered, and it's based on the cumulative depth of their experience. You just can't shortcut this. It's built through years and years of hands-on repetition, of seeing thousands of things go wrong and learning how to fix them.
So give us a breakdown of those tiers. What's the value gap between them?
At the entry level, you'll typically find machinists doing assisted setups. They're working under close supervision, usually on parts that have been run many times before. They know how to load a specific tool, but maybe not why that tool was chosen over another.
Okay, so moving up to the mid-level.
This machinist has achieved independence. They can handle setups on their own with standard materials. They can adjust for basic tool wear. And crucially, they can solve common problems. If a sensor gives an error, they know how to troubleshoot it without calling for help.
And then the gold standard, the senior CNC machinist. What makes them so valuable?
This is the expert problem solver. They're the ones handling the complex GD&T heavy blueprints for brand new parts, often on multi-axis machines. Their key value isn't just setting up, it's diagnosis. So if a run of 100 parts suddenly starts having a bad surface finish, the mid-level guy might tweak the feed rate. The senior machinist figures out the root cause. Maybe a spindle bearing is starting to fail, or the coolant mixture is wrong, and they solve the systemic issue.
The business implications here are just massive.
Right.
Especially for scalability. You can buy another machine tomorrow, but you can't buy a senior machinist.
You can't. The lead time to develop that competency is years, not weeks. And that scarcity creates real production bottlenecks. If a shop relies too heavily on their mid-level staff for complex work, you just see excessive scrap, a lot of overtime as they struggle to hit tolerance, and sometimes, you know, quality shortcuts being taken just to get parts out the door.
So the quality of the machinist directly impacts everything from machine utilization to scrap volume to customer trust. If they're that vital, vetting new hires must be incredibly difficult.
It is, because paper qualifications just fail to capture that real-world capability. A resume can say 10 years of experience, but that could just be 10 years of loading the same part into the same machine. Effective vetting has to be practical.
How do you practically test for that?
You have to do hands-on tests. Give them a raw blueprint, maybe a tricky one with complex GD&T, and ask them to just talk you through their setup strategy. The most revealing tests, though, are scenario-based questions.
Like what?
Like, if this tool broke on the 10th part of a 50-part run, what are your next three actions and why? That really assesses their decision-making under pressure.
And if these people are so hard to find and take so long to train, retention must be a huge issue. What are the key things that cause shops to lose these experts?
It often boils down to a kind of operational disrespect, more than just pay. The big stressors are things like chronic, unscheduled overtime, inconsistent job routing so they can never master a process, and maybe the biggest one, having no input on process decisions.
So you hire this highly skilled person who can diagnose systemic failures, but you don't give them a seat at the table when you're designing the process.
Precisely. If they are the final authority on dimensional integrity, they have to be treated as process partners. Their closeness to the machine, it brings to light all these operational issues that abstract data or even a programmer in an office will never see. Retention really relies on valuing their insight.
This has been a really fascinating deep dive. We've established that the CNC machinist is this critical interface between digital design and physical reality, and that their hands-on experience is something automation just can't replicate.
And that value has a direct impact on how well a company even functions internally. When machinists and engineers work closely together early in the design phase, manufacturability goes way up, design changes go down, and production launches become so much more predictable. They are the final interpreter of design intent.
It really seems like the investment in a talented machinist is maybe more strategic than the investment in the machine itself.
Mm-hmm.
The machine is the tool. The machinist is the talent that decides if that tool makes precision parts or just expensive scrap.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, given that a machinist's long-term effectiveness depends entirely on years of hands-on exposure to real production pressure, and that these senior machinists are not easily interchangeable or replaceable, how must manufacturers fundamentally rethink their strategy? How do they account for the slow, critical maturation timeline of this indispensable human talent?
Mm-hmm.
Because that slow cultivation of expertise, that's the real bottleneck that's going to define high-precision manufacturing for decades to come.
A vital and very challenging question for any industry that relies on microns of accuracy. Thank you for guiding us through all this material today.
My pleasure.
And thank you for joining us on this deep dive. We'll catch you next time.